Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Matthew Minona coming to you from the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You probably know us over there in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W in Churchill. There we have this business, and we have this business for the sole purpose. Okay, it's dual purpose. We do need to earn money, but we earn the money so that we can bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. So we are a self-supported ministry that is 100% in total belief that all of God's Word is so vital today. And we have seen a decrease in the Word of God in the one place that we're supposed to see it the most, that of course being our churches. So we decided, let's go ahead and find out if we can bring God's Word into the public through a not so normal means. And that's why we opened up the Wash and Word. So if you believe that the Word of God and all of its entirety is important, you can support us. How? No, not by coming by and making donations or gifts or charity or anything, but you can support us by coming by and letting us work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry alive. So come support us. Come on by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're listening to these messages, that they're blessing you. It's always good to have some encouragement. And finally, well, I'd like to invite you out on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. I do my live verse-by-verse Bible teachings at Abundant Life Fellowship over on 415 Old Union Road, across from the Churchill Swimming Pool. And so come on out Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, and let's share God's Word together. Well, let's get back into it, being that we do verse-by-verse. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday, which would be 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we studied the first two verses in our last teaching. And so now we're going to look at verse 3, and we'll just get right into it. Paul says, "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." I want to stop right there because I want to just kind of reflect a little bit on our last teaching where I was, I really spent a lot of time trying to prepare those of you who are going to continue to listen to these next few messages as we go through chapter 11, because we're looking at the roles that men and women have in the church and in relationships, and how that the role of a woman being of a submissive helpmeet, you know, has really gone by the wayside in this society, this culture. Even in the churches, we're not seeing the pattern being listed, being presented the way Paul listed it here. And I gave a heads up saying that a lot of women might not like the things that I'm going to say. And if you missed any of our sermons, remember you can go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com, and click on the media tab. We have all of our messages archived there. We encourage you to download them, share them, listen to them, of course, all for free. And incidentally, if you have any questions about the business or the ministry, washandword.com is your answer. So getting back to our scripture here, Paul is, the subheading in my Bible, which is NIV, is propriety and worship. And Paul's trying to get us to get to the place where we have a proper perspective of our roles in the corporate body. And so Paul uses the word head here. And the definition of the word head is, and this is straight out of the Bible, I mean the dictionary, the hairy knob atop one's shoulders. Okay, so maybe not the actual dictionary definition, but he's using the word head, not as the leader or but like the head upon one's shoulders. Why is Paul using the head as his primary example in getting this concept across? Well, if you think about it, the head is really the control center of the body. Now, I know that the spine and the spinal cord and all the nerves and everything that takes place runs down through there, but it's all connected and triggered through the synapse within the brain. And so, as I mentioned in our last study, God has ordained that man is the head. And he ordained that the moment he created woman. So God set this order in place. Even before Eve was created, the head, that is man, was God's masterpiece. And so he uses head as an allusion to how this submissive control is supposed to be set up. And if you think about it, 4 out of the 5 senses that we have emanate from our heads. Also, our heads control our imaginations, which I like to say is just another word for the devil's playground. Jesus, Paul says elsewhere to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And so the epicenter of our entire focus here on earth is to set our minds up in heaven. Paul says in Romans to renew your minds through the washing and regeneration of the word. So, you know, the head is an important part of the body. And someone might say, well, isn't the heart more important than the head? Well, I would say that, yeah, the heart is certainly an important part of the body, but it is only part of the body. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we have gone in our modern medicine to be able to actually do heart transplants. Of course, you already knew that. I was being kind of fictitious. But the point I'm trying to make is nobody has done a head transplant yet. And so while the heart is important, the spine is important, you know, all the other organs and functions, they're important. The head is something that is unique in its in the scope of what it entails, what it encompasses. And again, we can't live without our heads. When Herod's wife wanted to silence John the Baptist, she asked Herodias to ask for what? The leg of John the Baptist? No, it was the head. Remove the head, remove the threat. Elsewhere, we read that if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. You know, it's always about attacking the head, the top, the one thing that controls the rest. And so Paul is using the word head in a literal sense here, but he's also using it in a metaphoric sense. Basically, the head is the control center of order. And we all know that God is a God of order. And so he brings 3 examples. One of the examples brings controversy and is the second example. And so he brackets the controversial example with 2 other ones. See, Paul knew. He knew that when he started talking about the head and the man being the head and that other, he knew there was going to be some resistance, I guess would be the good word for it. And if you think about it, the proper order would be woman to man to Christ, and Christ to God. But as it stands, the order is Christ first, which makes sense. It's fitting. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. And so in this 3-part example he gives in verse 3, he says that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So skipping to the 3rd one, God is the head of Christ. Now, this doesn't denounce or diminish the lordship or the deity of Jesus. It merely places the humanity of Christ under the headship of the divine, the always divine God. You see the difference? It's just that it's still God in the flesh, but he was in the flesh as God. Therefore, he would be under the humanity, or rather the divine headship of God. So God became flesh. Thus, he was subjected to his divinity to human standards for a time. God remained in heaven as God, never changing, always God. And Jesus always did the will of the Father. So if we look at the 2 bookends that define the center statement, which was that the head of every woman is man. That's the center part, the controversial part. It has the two bookends is about a subjection first to Christ, who himself has subjected himself to God. And I also would like to make a quick point here. Notice that Paul says that the man is the head of the woman. He didn't say the husband is the head of the wife. And I think he did this on purpose to say, not to let you single women and you single men are not off the hook when it comes to this order. God set the stronger sex as the head, and he did it for a reason. You know, here at the car wash, my wife, Victoria, God bless her, she's a hard worker, and she does just about the equivalent amount of physical work that I do here, but I don't want her to do that. You know, in today's society, most married couples, the way the culture is built up, we kind of need two incomes. It's hard to get by on one unless you really have a good job. And so, you know, women nowadays in marriages will often work, sometimes part-time, or maybe after the kids are a little bit older, they'll work a little bit more. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, my wife, Victoria, for instance, should not be working as hard as she is here at the car wash. Now, we're just getting this started. We're celebrating our year anniversary this month, and you know, we're just getting started. But the goal for me and for her is to back her down, to maybe just be a part-time help. I mean, that's what she was created to be, a helpmeet, not a equal partner in terms of the physicality of the job that we do here. And I recognize that, and pretty soon we'll work on that, getting her not so involved. But the point I'm trying to make is that men were built and created to do a lot of the physical labor that we're supposed to be doing. And the woman is supposed to be taking care of her role in submission to the man, who in turn is submissive to Christ, who in turn is submissive or was submissive to God while he worked, while he walked on the earth. So anyway, single women are not off the hook. Now, looking at verses 4 through 6, Paul says, "Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, and every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. And if a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off, and it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut or shaved off. She should cover her head." And I'm thinking to myself, wait, how did we get here? You know, he goes right to this hair and head. I mean, we were just talking about the order of things that emanate from the throne of God down to creation, even into marriage, even into singlehood. And now we're talking about shaved hair and hats. Well, if you were in our first message that we preached on chapter 11, in our last message, I fictitiously titled it, "Should Women Wear Hats?" And you know, this is kind of where this comes from. But we have to look beyond what is being read and consider the primary thing that Paul is trying to convey here. And what is the primary thing Paul is trying to convey? Well, the primary purpose of Paul's proclamation is the preservation and purity of the Word of God in public places. I'll repeat that. And there's a lot of P's in there. I think I did that on purpose. The primary purpose of Paul's proclamation is the preservation and purity of the pulpit in public places. What is he saying? Well, he's writing to Christians here, and he's warning them mainly about guarding the purity and the power of word when you're in the public assembly. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted with you to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." And so this is why Paul looks like he's changing his subject here. He's saying, listen, we got to guard what has been given to us. And we'll pick this concept up here in our next teaching. So I encourage you to join me. You can hear these. Originally, they're aired Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning on WMCH, 1260 AM radio. And don't forget to come by the Wash and Word They're playing 24/7 on 107.1 FM right here in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word. We put them on a loop, so that's 107.1 FM. Again, if you have any questions or comments, go to washandword.com. Have a blessed day.